Oh, yeah. How about that? When you hear that sound, that music, you know what that means. It's the Half Hour Power, the best show post-show. 30 minutes of rapid-fire, unscreen phone calls. Hosted by me, Tom Sharpling, and the best show crew. We're joined tonight by, of course, it's not a Half Hour Power without the one and only AP Mike. How are you, Mike?
Doing well, Tom. Thank you. I got echo going on?
You do. Yes. Okay. What? Is that echo? I think I like it. keeps him on his toes.
Speakers.
And then, of course, Dudio.
Hello, hello.
The dude. I can't hear myself in the headphones now. The dude who built the studio. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm very well.
Sorry, guys. We're sorting out the techie stuff. Now I hear myself. Perfect. Thank you, Pat. And what goes without saying, Pat Byrne.
Hey.
At 1-800 Pat Byrne.
Thank you. Thank you for the Twitter plug.
And Pat, I want to say this. I want to say this to all three of you. I tease you during the show. What a great job everybody did tonight in the tech and the things running, all the board mixing and everything. Pat, you did such a great job mixing everything for and setting everything up for Sunshine and the Rain. And thank you, Jason, for everything you set up for them.
Yeah.
And Mike, thank you for all the tech stuff. you're a pretty
I stayed out
blender.
Of the way, right?
Yeah, look.
That's the best thing.
I don't run into him.
MVP.
I think we can give him MVP for the thing. And, of course, special guests tonight. We have the one and only Terry T is here. How are you, Terry?
Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing fantastic.
Good. Thank you for being on the Half Hour Power.
So great. Thank you for...
Anyone else coming in?
Yes? You guys want to come in Half Hour Power?
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going to the phones. Half Hour Power, what's up?
Hey, Tom.
Gosh. Hey, you're on the Half Hour Power with AP Mike, Jason, Pat Byrne, Terry T, and Ashley from Sunshine in the Rain. What's up?
Hi.
Well, hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Who's this?
Wow. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath.
Don't worry. Why are you out of breath, buddy?
I was listening to the show all night. I was also putting together a bed.
Okay.
So, finally got it fixed, so.
How's that going? What kind of bed? Where'd you buy the bed?
Walmart.
Walmart. All right.
Only the best for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only the best.
Yeah.
Great company, too. Yeah. Real great.
Yeah.
They support.
Well, I'm broke, Tom. So
look, I'm not putting you down. I'm putting Walmart down.
Yeah.
That's true.
Look, what are you going to do? You're broke.
How many slats? Well, how many slats did the bed have?
There are... Hold on, I got the instructions. 26. 26 slats.
That is some bed, huh? 26 slats.
Got a Casper mattress on there.
Yeah.
Oh. King size?
Full size.
Full size, yeah.
What, are you looking in a room with this guy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a bed with more than 4 or 5 slats.
This guy's got 26 slats.
Yeah,
Mike.
No, that's crazy.
He's running things.
Yeah.
He's living on that bed.
Living the dream.
Yeah, this guy's he's saying he's got no money.
Yeah.
He's got a 26 slat bed.
Well, I don't have a Masses t-shirt, I'll tell you that much.
Uh-huh. Well, there's one way to remedy that.
Yeah, that's real easy.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it.
Oh, you ordered it?
I did.
Oh, that was a burn on you, Mike.
Well, look.
No,
it's a burn on me, ultimately.
No, it's not.
It's a burn on nobody. Look, you ordered the shirts. You knew they were coming. They were wildly successful. Mm-hmm. AP Mike is rolling in it now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Yes, he's just flush.
He just threw money up in the air as you said that.
Yeah. No, he's... In all seriousness, he's selling the shirts. He's been doing the show forever. Let him make a couple bucks off of it, maybe.
Yeah, no. That's,
you did
I'm
the
patient.
Right thing. Good, yeah. You got anything else to say other than your bed?
I did want to talk to you about something.
Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Did you know the guy in the Sonic commercials does an improv show in Chicago every Wednesday night?
Yes. Which guy? Blonde guy or guy with black
TJ.
Hair?
Yes.
TJ? That is a name?
TJ Jagodowski.
Is that his name in real life? Or
that's not Dave? I thought I always thought the Sonic guy was Dave.
No,
that's
not. No.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You mean the character's name is TJ or his real life name is TJ?
No, his real life name is TJ.
The character is TJ and he's also TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw them last week and it was like, it was really great.
They're two of the best.
Is it Sonic related improv? Let's take a suggestion from the audience from the Sonic menu.
Limeade.
Limeade. Tater tots. All right, we'll do start. First word will be limeade. Last word will be tater tots. Let's do a scene now. No, look, those guys, I know those guys are funny. The one guy's on Veep all the time. He's really funny. The other guy.
Yeah. Dave?
Dave.
Dave.
That's the husband, right? That's Selena Meyer. He plays Selena Meyer's husband.
No,
right?
He plays the guy who's like the lobbyist, who's like the sleazy lobbyist who's always trying to lure people to do things. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
But yeah, of course those guys are funny. I'm not. I tease. This is what I'm teasing people on this show. What are people taking so seriously?
Why not? I didn't realize it before I moved out here, and then some friends told me he was in an improv show.
I'm glad he was funny. So. I'm glad everybody says he's funny. I'm glad he's funny.
Cool.
Great. Best show? No, it's not best show. It's Half Hour Power. What's up, my friend?
Hello there.
To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Tom. This is Cassius.
Well, Cassius. How are you? I'm well. How are you?
All right.
You're here with AP Mike and Jason and Pat Byrne and Terry T and Ashley from Sunshine and the Rain.
All right. Cool. I wanted to goof on something ever so lightly. The absurdity. A lot of shows lately, you're telling us how you're hemorrhaging money doing the show, mm-hmm. but yet you're going to donate money to charity. Mm-hmm. You're giving away money.
Right? Yeah, that's what you call a good person.
He's a he's a good dude.
Yeah, doing that out of my own pocket.
It's a foreign concept.
I know. I think you need a charity for the show. We gotta.
Now, Wolf,
it's not good to hear about you hemorrhaging money.
You should start one.
Look, bro, I appreciate you saying that. It's coming from a good place. I know it is.
Yeah.
But I want to help out there. I want to help out with things. I'll throw money at it. People got to do charity in life, so this is one way of doing it. It spurs on some charity. And it gets some people to call the show. It's a trade-off.
Yeah. I got you. I do think you're missing out a really good chance to bring in some more money is to do a new shirt for the show. You don't have a good solid t-shirt for the show. The t-shirts that are available are too kind of inside humor. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, sure. Philly Boy Roy, nobody understands that. Everybody get it. Look, we're going to do a best show shirt. Look, again, I know what you're saying, dude. It comes from a good place. I appreciate it. You and I, we're never ever going to be 100% simpatico, but I agree. I see where you're coming from, and I appreciate it. It's very thoughtful. We are going to do a best show shirt at some point, so you are right.
Okay, all right.
You are right, Cassius.
Okay, I just wanted to bring it up.
At some point, we will. But I want to look. I want Mike to have a clear path with his shirt now.
Yeah.
I'm going to let him put his massive shirt. Then 2 weeks later, I drop a best show shirt on everybody. He's gonna be.
Right.
He'll be living in a tent made out of Massa's shirts. He'll be out. He'll be down by the Bayonne River or whatever it is. Is it a river? What is it?
Newark Bay, New York
Lake
Bay.
Bayonne.
Bayonne Inlet.
Yeah, he'll be down by the inlet.
It's a sound.
Kill Van Call.
It's the Bayonne sound.
He'll put all the Massa's shirts. He'll build like a little tent out of them. Because I ran him out of business. Well, I'm not going to do that. He'll waterproof. He'll go. He'll get some sealant. Look, he's not stupid. He'll go to Home Depot and buy some sealant.
Sealant. Yeah.
Unless it's a local.
No, so we will, though. You're right, Cassius. You're right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for letting me come on, and that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a grand evening.
You too.
Funny thing happened there, Tom. Before you said simpatico, mm-hmm. I thought the word simpatico.
Mm-hmm. You know what that means?
We're simpatico?
We're simpatico. That's what that means. And you know what that means? I'm super sad right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what's going on. Who watched Game of Thrones?
Yeah!
One!
I watched it.
Mike watched it.
I watched it on a down low.
On the down low?
You secretly watch it?
I secretly watch that show, yeah.
How do you secretly watch
it? I don't talk about it a lot to people. Mm-hmm. But I'm up to date.
You're up to date?
Yeah.
How do you feel about all this? I don't watch it. This is what I do. I find out what happened on. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then when it's all over, I'll watch it, but I won't be like tortured like the way everybody is like, oh, I was so upset by the thing. It's like, I know about the Red Wedding. Okay. I guess this is what the Red Wedding, huh? Nah, they're killing everybody. Like, I'll just be super low key because I knew it was happening. Okay. I guess Jon Snow's back. Okay.
I can name maybe five characters total, you know, and half the time I don't know what's going on.
Can you
on,
name them?
You know,
name five characters.
Well, Jon Snow is the easy one. Cersei. I'm even blanking out on Peter Dinklage. You know,
Tyrion Lannister.
There you go. Yeah, the Tyrion throws me. Yeah, it's like.
How about the Dragon Queen? What's her name?
Oh, I don't know. I can't. I just think of her as the Dragon Queen.
What is it again, Terry?
I just call her Danny.
Is that the actress's name?
No, it's like Daenerys.
Oh, Daenerys, yes. Daenerys. Yeah, all these names are slightly Latin, and so I have like a flashback to taking Latin in high school, and it just I'm flustered when they start throwing his names around. I never know where I am geographically. Mm-hmm. You know,
it is hard. I have to say that like. I don't watch it on the quote unquote download. I'm not even sure what that means, but
I just mean I watch it.
So you're in the closet about it, even though you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Mike's a closet throne head.
Closet throne head, yeah. Even though I don't absorb it the way the real throne heads.
How do you feel about Jon Snow's lineage now, Mike? What about that?
You probably didn't get it, right?
How do you feel about
it? It was hard.
He's always been a bastard. But they kind of were doing flashbacks this time, and they showed the woman giving birth to him, and then they cut. Uh-huh. I mean, it was.
But his father is not Ned Stark. See, I haven't watched one episode of this thing, but I just like.
Can I say this?
Oh, see, that wasn't even clear to me.
That's exactly what I said to Tom. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear.
His father Gail Bennington was telling me about this. Because I'm just being like, what happened on it?
Go ahead. I actually, Tom and I are married, right? I don't know if you know this, right? And so I.
I know, right? Can
you believe what?
I actually watched this show and I love the show. Uh-huh. Tom is like, tonight we feast on elf meat. He just like, it's just, it's his funny joke. Like he'll walk by it, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is, how is it that Tom knows the show better than I do, or you do?
Well,
like that's how tuned in he is to like
Jon Snow's father.
He's absorbing it.
His father's probably Rhaegar Targaryen.
See, that's it. Like,
okay,
Tom was telling me,
and I have no idea whether that's a real character.
That means he's the Jon Snow is going to be. The one who deserves the Iron Throne, then.
Okay.
That's why the Red Witch resurrected. Like, now it'll... And I'm like, oh. But why did the mother whisper that into Ned Stark's ear? Like, we couldn't hear. Like, how did you figure that out?
I don't know. I just asked other people. Gail Bennington told me.
Well, I know. I know Gail is like...
I have a theory as to why Mike is secretly into Game of Thrones.
Why is that?
Is it, Mike, I'm going to ask you, is it because George R.R.R.R. Martinson is a resident of Bayonne?
Well,
yes. Yes.
Is that why you're half curious?
No, it's simpler and stupider. It's basically I got into a habit of watching television on HBO Sunday nights, mm-hmm. going all the way back
sure.
to
Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
Of course.
And so that's my wind down time, mm-hmm. you know, Sunday nights.
It's your must see TV.
Yeah, it's the only night really I dedicate to watching television. Other
that's
nights
fair.
I'm bouncing around and
I get it.
HBO's yeah. smart to mm-hmm. have that night, have that block.
Has George R.R. Martin ever come to Massos?
No, he's pretty much written off Bayonne. I don't think Bayonne was a good experience for him. You know, I think it roughed him up.
He lives on one of those big houses on the river, right?
No, I heard that he lived in, you know, a humble really? Tenement building, yes.
Come on.
Yeah,
when
I'm serious.
When he was in Bayonne.
Yeah, when he was in Bayonne. I mean, I asked around. I asked people if they remember him. Because, you know, all these guys I know through the bar, they know everybody in town.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And they're about his age.
And they're about his age.
Yeah, totally.
Nobody has any recollection of him. So I have a feeling, you know, he was kind of like a nerd, an isolated nerd, mm. and probably got picked on. The one character in the show is obviously him, right? The guy...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
The pudgy guy with the wife and kid.
Oh, you mean the man?
Sam?
The one who wants to be the smart guy that's going to become the maester? You know,
I look at that character as like, I think that's my, you know, for what it's worth, assessment of that character, you know?
It's funny because, like, that. He's one of the guys that are like, oh, no, that's like me. Like, that people are supposed to relate to, like, oh, this is, like, the smart, intelligent one that, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. no, we're not going to fight with sword. What? Like, killing?
But a lot of authors like to insert a character that, you know, they identify with and it's close to them. That's the character I would think is probably closest to mm-hmm. Martin.
Okay, I'm going back to the phone.
What was Stephen King? Like, Pennywise the Clown?
Half hour power, you're on.
Orson Welles sucks.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Say Orson Welles sucks.
Yeah. Why?
Right. And you know what else sucks? Francis Ha.
That's the movie with Greta Gerwig. Mm-hmm. Right.
It was a book too.
You don't like Greta Gerwig?
No, I like when she gets her head blown off in House of the Devil.
Yikes.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Click it down a notch. What's your name?
This is Shane.
Why are you so angry? Why
are you sound all innocent now?
Why are you so angry, Shane?
He's like the regular. Stain.
Greta Gerwig seems like a nice lady.
Yeah, she seems pretty nice. My girlfriend's parents are friends with her parents.
Mm-hmm. So you're just
the... She stinks.
Your girlfriend's parents are friends with her parents. And why are you so mad at all of this again?
I don't know.
Why are you so mad, Shane?
Guess it's just been a long day.
Yeah, look, it's hard. A long day. What are you going to do? Everybody's got bad days. You have a bad day.
Did you work in a video store today where Francis Ha just played on repeat?
No, thank God.
There's nothing nice you can say about Greta Gerwig.
She's
funny on talk shows.
I haven't seen her on the talk shows. Maybe that's what I'm missing.
She's good on talk shows.
What do you like?
All right.
Yeah, who do you like instead of Greta Gerwig?
I like, what's that movie? Tootsie?
Oh, Tootsie.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. Yeah.
Who do you like in Tootsie?
Or no, I didn't mean Tootsie.
Dabney Coleman.
Death to Smoochie.
Oh, you like Death to Smoochie.
I could see how you would get those two confused.
Sure.
Yeah.
Written by best show friend Adam Resnick. Death to Smoochie. Nice.
Directed by Danny DeVito.
Henry Rollins.
Shane, anything you want to say to anyone here? You have AP Mike, Dudio, Terry T, Pat Byrne, Ashley, and or Justin from Sunshine in the Rain.
Hi, Shane.
I'd like to give a big old smoochie to AP Mike.
Wow.
That's touching.
All right, see ya.
Farewell.
Best call.
Angry dude.
Woo!
Now, Mike.
Yes.
I know you. You're a guy who always has his nose out for a strange story or a unique development.
Yeah.
What's on your radar?
Well, I got a doozy for tonight.
And remember, this is. He never says any of the things he says are doozies. So, let's hear this doozy.
Has anybody read the Clinton Halen biography of Bob Dylan, Behind the Shades?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
It's actually,
I won't speak for the group.
Anybody?
No.
Love the title.
I've read things he's written. I read Bootleg.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I think he did a book where he put together articles on the Velvet Underground.
Well, he did one that was sort of a Velvet to the Voidoids.
Yes.
Which was sort of an oral history, like Please Kill Me.
I didn't read that. I read a book he compiled press at the time on the Velvet Underground. Mm-hmm. Like he compiled actual reviews in the late 60s. Uh-huh. So basically he went to the thing in the library and looked up at the mimeograph machine or whatever it was. The thing is scroll through the film. What was that thing?
Microfiche.
So Clinton Halen was working the microfiche machine, taking pictures.
Well, I can recommend the book. I mean, I'm just like ripping through it. It's long.
Okay.
I mean, I have the second revision, which is over 700 pages. But, you know, I never delved into, you know, Dylan's personal life. I wasn't, you know, that curious about it. You know, I read No Direction Home. Is a good biography about the early years.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Chronicles, which is, you know, that's a great book too. But, you know, he doesn't reveal a lot of his personal life in there. So this has a lot of stuff, you know, more personal things. And what was interesting, I found there's lots of interesting things in it, but he's had a couple visions. And, you know, one of the lines he tells people is that he sees things that no one else sees, which is a great line to use, you know, just if you want to impress people.
Bob Dylan says that.
Yeah. Wow. And he did have a couple visions.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, he saw Jesus Christ in a motel in Tucson. This was sort of right before the born again phase.
Mm-hmm. Before Slow Train Coming.
Yes. Yeah.
Was the first of the albums where he was saved.
You know, he had this vision in a motel room. Another weird vision he had, he was on, the whole setup is weird. He said he was on a train in Mexico, and he's watching outside the window of like a family of like 17 people disembark from this train. And then an old man wrapped in a towel, not a towel, wrapped in a blanket, gets on the train and sits right across from him. And then his eyes turn into flames and smoke starts coming out of his mouth, which is pretty weird. You
wow.
know? Yeah. So,
this was like not a dream. This is
no,
really.
He claims this was a vision he had.
Like, but no, he witnessed this person go get on the train and what he thought was, you know, whatever, our 3D reality, and then he sees it, like, on a...
Yeah.
When did this happen?
That one happened, I'm thinking, like, in the 70s, you know, maybe before the Tucson vision.
Okay. Can I ask you, does he mention psychedelic drugs at all or anything like that, or...?
No, I mean, he talks about, you know, about the amphetamine period when Dylan made all his great records, he was on speed.
Yeah, it was a two-year burst.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 65 to not even the end of 66.
Yeah. And he claimed, you know, I think there's quotes in there. This also has a lot of quotes from Dylan. And, you know, he claims that like drugs didn't do it for him. I mean, he had difficulty with alcohol mm-hmm. in different parts of his life. Mm-hmm. They talk about that. But this is sort of leading up to a vision I had where, I was down at my father's house and, I had gone out with friends and, you know, there was more than the usual drinking. I came home. I fell asleep in what we called the rec room. You know, it's like downstairs in this bi-level house. I fell asleep with the television on. I woke up. I had to use the bathroom. And when I woke up, there were two strangers. I saw two strangers as clear as Dudio and Terry T sitting next to me. What would your response if you woke up and you saw two strangers sitting next to you? What would your response be? You'd be a little alarmed, maybe, and say, like,
totally flip out. Who
are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Who are you? Mm-hmm. No, I shrugged it off. Mm-hmm. I kind of looked at them. I went to the bathroom. When I came back, of course, they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, they were, you know. And then the next morning, I'm awakened by my brother. He's downstairs. And the thinking, even after they disappeared, my thinking was that, oh, these must be friends of my brother. And they're out in the backyard at 2 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so I left the lights on. I muted the television and went up to bed. And then I hear my brother in the morning, and he's like, oh, man, Mike must have had a rough night. You know, he left the lights on, the television's muted. And then he goes and he says, oh, why is the garage door open? You know, and it turns out he doesn't lock the garage door. He leaves it unlocked.
From outside?
From inside.
From inside.
Yeah. He doesn't lock it.
Doesn't lock it, and so anybody outside can slide it up.
He thinks he's back in the 1950s, and nobody locks their doors, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. But as soon as he says that, then I'm like just spinning. I was ready to just dismiss this as like I had too much to drink. Mm-hmm. I saw something weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says that, and now the wheels are spinning. Let me describe the people. It's interesting that Ashley and Justin are here because they were like young people, but like with it young people. They don't look like you, but they were, you know, it was a couple.
Did you just say with it?
Yeah, with it.
Like hip? Cool?
Yeah, hip okay. people, you know? They kind of were dressed stylishly with kind of longish hair.
For the era that you're saying?
From
a different era?
For any era. They just looked like cool people, you know?
Like
rock
hip
and rollers.
Now.
Rock and
hip.
Rollers, yeah, yeah. Okay. They look like music people. Okay. And so, yeah, and then later on I was leaving. I couldn't tell anybody about this. This is the first time I'm admitting this in public.
Wow.
Wow.
And
this is in Bayonne?
No, this was in at my father's house, not in Bayonne.
Okay.
And as I'm leaving, I see these scooters across the street.
Scooters?
Right? And scooters connect with cool people to me.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure.
And now the wheels are spinning again. And I'm like, you know what? Scooters, cool, young people. Maybe there's like people across the street who were effing with me. They followed me. They saw me going in, maybe stumbling a little. And, you know, they kind of went to look in windows. You know, young people do weird adventures, you know. And maybe they came in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Anybody?
What is this? I don't know,
that's
Mike.
Right. So one. I think of, like, they could have been from the 60s then, like scooters, longish hair, or whatever.
Well,
when did this experience happen to you? How long?
It's like a couple months ago.
Yeah. Do you think they could
have been? Well, I didn't case out the scooter owners. That was like, I was thinking, like, I got to case out these scooter owners to see whether they fit the description, you know? But I didn't stay down to case out the place.
You've never seen them since?
No.
Let's go around the room. Let's see. What do you think, Dudio?
Did I have a vision or am I?
Well, I was going to say it was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say definitely a ghost. I mean, I've seen ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that sounds very in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the garage door being open, that's a weird. And him not locking it,
right.
That seems kind of. I almost wonder. I kind of think that they came in and they were
nothing was
with
taken.
You.
Our wallets were both out in the open.
Yeah,
you know, no, there was nothing taken.
They were just watching you.
Yeah, or are they guardian angels? Take a different angle.
Pat, I can only get in through the garage.
Pat, any thoughts on this?
Mods versus rockers.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the scooters.
It's the ghost of the mods.
Yeah.
I don't know where the rockers were, but...
Mike's the rocker.
I know.
There you go.
I know, you didn't mention psychedelics. You mentioned amphetamines. So that goes with the mods.
I was kind of rocking that night.
Terry T., your take on this?
Yeah, I think you were in an altered state.
Okay.
And you were able to go out of your pineal gland.
Yeah.
Or however that is. And you saw the fourth dimension.
I had a vision.
And there are a lot of things that we can't see in the fourth dimension.
Okay.
At least there's cool
could be
people.
Ghosts. Could be...
Yeah.
I don't know. Aliens, guardian angels, you know, name some stuff. Just entities that we just can't see.
Yeah.
And you were able to see them.
Well, they come
so
back.
So once in a while, you can see them, you know.
Yeah.
Like when you're taking a psychedelic drug, for example.
Justin, from Sunshine in the Rain.
I have to agree with Terry on that. I think that,
it was a mental event. It was not real.
It could have been something a little extra, you know, being in that sort of consciousness, perhaps, and just within that brief moment, you sort of become aware of your surroundings, you know, what you're normally not aware of, in a sense,
but
just in that particular point of time. However, the scooters across the street, that throws a very crazy variable in the mix, because, I mean... But I do agree with you in terms of, like, you got to case the joint to see whether or not these people, and maybe they may look familiar, but however, that's just a... I feel like I've been there as well, so I'm going to pass the mic.
Did you come in through the garage?
No.
Okay.
No. That's a good question, though.
Ashley, any thoughts?
I know, this is... the new slaw dog.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like it was definitely a real presence that was there, but not a physical, like, human body in our form. Like, maybe it was a spirit or a ghost, that kind of thing. I mean, I definitely believe in that stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know, with our relatives who have been really close to passing, like, you know, my dad and his grandmother, like, I definitely feel and sometimes see them embodied in various states like that. And so I feel that it was definitely, yeah, like I think, yeah, like he said, or like you said, even like a guardian angel, like I think it was definitely a positive thing, but you know, they were there for you and kind of just like to say, like, we're here for you.
Okay.
Yeah. You mentioned guardian angel. So did you get a positive vibe off of them?
Like no, like I said,
normally you see strangers.
Yeah. No. The next day, I thought to myself, well, that was the weirdest reaction to seeing two strangers in your house. Where, I mean, I perceived them as real people, and then just shrugged it off, like, oh, okay, who are you? I didn't even ask them who you are. You know, I just went to the bathroom, came back out, they were gone, and then all the weirdness in my mind started. Did I see that? Was it just a...
Were you drinking beer? Was it just beer?
Yeah, it was just beer. Yeah, I wasn't doing shots or anything. But it was, you know, a lot.
What do you think, Tom?
I don't know. I think Mike's a deep dude, and I think he does a lot of deep thinking on stuff, and there's a chance he could have, you know... I think something could have there could be something there. I truly don't know. I don't know. I'm as puzzled by where you're at with it too.
Yeah, it's puzzling.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that our human perceptions are, when it comes to things like that, I've been really whatever suppressed or just made into a concrete five sense type thing. But it's just like when you think about like dogs. They can smell stuff like a one particle to like 1 billion of like their smell is like insane. Like they can hide a ball at the bottom of the ocean and the dog will be able to smell it, right?
And the animals know when a tsunami is coming, that type of thing.
Many, there's so many things. And it's just, all that is just to have expanded perception. Mm-hmm.
This is the only thing I'll say about it. If this guy's, it turns out this guy gets like into like deeper stuff and I'm still here struggling. Suddenly Mike's like the
guru.
Ghost hunter.
It's like the shaman.
AP Mike ghost hunter.
I'm gonna get invited on, what's that show we were just talking about? Yeah. The coastal.
What show?
Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah, Coast to Coast.
Oh,
yeah.
Be a guest on Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast with AP Mike.
Dropping.
It'll be, yeah.
West of the Rockies.
Yeah, and Mike will end up on all these True TV connections. He'll end up with the AP Mike Ghost Chaser. Jersey Ghost Chaser.
Wow. Yeah, well,
Ghost Shusher.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that's a wild story, and I'm glad you actually shared it. That's pretty crazy. What I think of when I think of Bob Dylan. This is what I think of. One of my all-time favorite Bob Dylan vocals.
Uh-huh. I'd like to see it anyway. Can you bring it around?
Yeah, I will.
Like,
should I do bring it around now, or?
No. I'm tired at the weekend. How about like on a Monday or Tuesday?
The trouble is that these people are expecting, expecting something from me Monday. All right.
I'm working, man. I'm building some shit, you know, and I really got to get it built.
Right.
Just, some tables and some shelves and some stuff, and I got to get it done. I put it way off.
Okay, I'll tell them that I'll have to wait.
Just like 1 week. Or a day or two. 2 days. Just let me see it.
Okay, let me bring it over today. I'll just leave it in your mailbox, okay?
Well, I'll be there. I'll be at the studio today, so bring it by.
Yeah. The idea of Bob Dylan
ordering that furniture.
Just, he's got to build these shelves and tables. And because he says in his, like, man, if I don't build these shelves and tables, my wife's going to kill me, man.
What year was that?
That's probably 70, I think, because he was.
What's great about this book is that, like.
And this is the A.J. Weberman tapes. This guy basically was like a New York kind of underground
fanatic, yeah.
Underground fanatic, yeah. Guy who went through Dylan's garbage and mm-hmm. and then Dylan got mad at him, but then he pressed Dylan saying like, you don't have any cred with the underground anymore. So he did an interview with this guy and basically he just drove Dylan up the wall, and then on top of it he recorded it and then released it. He dumped it out there for the world to hear.
Dylan actually
wrote an article on Dylan, and it was just filled with so many inaccuracies. That's what he's saying, drop it off. He's like, can you drop the thing off, man? Drop it off. I want to read it. And he's like arguing about just like quotes. He's like, you said that, Bob. And Dylan's like, I didn't say that, man. And he's like, oh, well, you said something like it. Like, the guy's so bad. A.J. Weberman is so bad at what he's doing. He's like, I wouldn't have said that, man. He's like, and then there's a great part on it when he goes, there's a hundred other people writing songs as good as you now, but he's like, name them, man. And he's like, Creedence Clearwater. He's like, no way, man. He's like, basically saying like, those guys suck, man. And he's like, mentions Roger McGuinn. He's like, no. And then he mentions, he's like, Gordon Lightfoot, and Dylan's like, hey, he's all right. Like, he always.
I think he even did covers of his songs. Yeah.
He always had this affection for Gordon Lightfoot, which is such a funny thing to think. Just like, nah, he's all right. Wow. I think of that, then I think of this.
This is a song from the play Damn Yankees. I don't mean the band that Ted Nugent is in with those guys from Styx. Damn Yankees is a newer comedy, a modern retelling of the foul.
So he's just like, the idea that he knows Ted Nugent and Styx supergroup, Damn Yankees, is... Well, the half-hour power, I'm going to say we're done. Thank you, everybody, for coming and being a part of it. Thank you, AP Mike.
Woo.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Yo.
Thank you, Terry T.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ashley and Justin.
Yay. Thank you.
And we will be back We'll be back in a couple weeks. Half hour power. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Yeah. And we'll be back. Take care.